Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to be with you on this Tuesday, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, and a terrific service department that backs it all up every step of the way with terrific technicians, and they can use more. It's up your alley. You should apply. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Let's give the Arizona Diamondbacks a lot of credit for a team that was thoroughly and completely intimidated by a wild, raucous crowd last night and played the game in the fetal position because of it. They destroyed them. All right, so other than that, I thought it went pretty well. Yeah. You know how I feel about that stuff. It's not intimidating. It's supportive. It's an awesome crowd, but don't think you're intimidating. You think you're intimidating professional athletes? I mean, come on. Did they look intimidated last night?
They didn't, but that was also the Phillies' first loss at home, too. For whatever it's worth. This postseason.
Yeah, and what did they do last postseason? They won a whole bunch of home games, and then they got to the World Series and lost 2 out of 3. At home.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so guess what? It's not like it's about matchups. It's about winning matchups. The crowd is the emotion and everything that goes with it, pumping up the home team, everything. It's tremendous. It's tremendous. But like, we're the most intimidating crowd. Intimidating what? Are you out standing out there with them? No. Okay. Now, if they're out there standing with them, yelling and screaming at them, like, okay. That's why they have, like, even that ballpark has security. All right, so. Oh, goodness. Look, Phillies need to get out, get to the lead tonight, and take it from there. If the Phillies win tonight, they'll have to play at Texas for games 1 and 2. I mean, Texas didn't win a game in the ALCS at home. Nobody won an ALCS game at home. Do you realize that?
Yeah, that was really strange. That was a strange but good series.
But that's how the World Series played. When Houston lost to Washington in 2019, the road team won every game.
That's true. I forgot about that.
That's why I'm here. By the way, great questions on the phone lines yesterday. Doug talking about third down, the fourth down call with about 7 minutes and change to go in the fourth quarter, and Brian's comments, and Bob, what can they do to move forward and close the gap? And things. They were all great questions. Very, very thoughtful, and, it was fun talking with them yesterday. So if you have any questions, that's fine. And if you have questions, comments, that is perfectly fine. I'm always willing to sit here and listen. This is not about having arguments. I mean, did I argue with anybody yesterday? I listened to what everybody had to say and then gave the pros and cons of each scenario that was brought up. Like you're right about this, but you have to take into account this. You know what I mean? And that's how, I think that leads for good conversation. Rant man. That's you. Time now for the Macatrillo rant of the day.
Well, I do have yesterday's rants that I didn't get to, but I have to start off the show with this because it's just another chapter of this, what's becoming an outrageous story out of Michigan football. So we now know the guy's name in Connor Stallions.
Yeah.
This low-grade staffer that now apparently, from all the reports that came out today from Pete Thamel and others, had bought tickets. He's done it the last 3 years, and he bought tickets for both sides of the stadium for the Ohio State-Penn State game.
Can I tell you, inside baseball here, right? Jack and I knew at 8:30 Saturday morning that the tickets were bought on each side of the stadium. So we knew 3.5 hours before kickoff that they had been bought.
Ah.
And so we actually knew.
There it is.
So, I mean, now since Pete put the story out, to his credit, Pete's done a great job. But actually, we did know. Now, we also knew that Ohio State was not going to, under any circumstances, let those people into the stadium. But they were, So we actually, Jack and I did know.
But they didn't get let in.
No, they did not get let in.
All right. Well, that's good, because that was going to be the next thing.
Either they elected not to attend because of what had happened, or they weren't let in. I would think that it may have been the former, not the latter.
Hmm.
But we did know that morning that there were tickets, a ticket bought on each side at the 45-yard line before the game. So Jack and I did know.
Interesting. So we've got that now, that element in there now.
Which means I'll give you one other nugget, okay? And I'll leave the nuggets at that. I'm not going to go into everything I know that's not right, not fair, okay? Since they are saying that happened, that would mean, based on my knowledge, that would have been the third game this season of Penn State's they attended.
Unbelievable.
Okay? That would have been game three this season that it is alleged that they would have attended or may have had tickets to.
And it was already looking bad, too.
Right, and I'll leave it at that, okay?
Yeah. No, that's... I think that only just adds a little bit more elements here to what we already know. I mean, over the weekend, when Rutgers played at Michigan, there was a video of Greg Schiano's halftime interview, and he said that something was going on the sideline, and everybody was retweeting it, and that certainly linked to what's now going on now that it's out there, but nobody knew what he was talking about at the time. Then earlier today, there's a couple of photos from Michigan, Ohio State last year at the Horseshoe where this guy, Connor Stallions, is standing next to each coordinator when both sides of the ball are on the field, and he's got a notepad in front of him, and he's standing right next to the coordinator. So, I guess innocent until proven guilty, but I mean, come on.
But again, if anybody thinks this is a rogue one-man show, you have to be completely naive. Because it's not just getting the signals. It's then marrying it to video. And if there's a couple games worth, or maybe in some cases 3 games worth, like, okay, what did they change? This is where it becomes really dicey as to how this was done. Okay? When you get an all 22, you get a sideline view, you get an end zone view. But for the most part, you know, they do all 22. It's enough to show all 22 guys in the field, but not the sidelines. Same thing with the end zone shot. And if you were to get signals off of that, that's illegal. If you get a TV tape and you can see some signals, that's why you'll see some teams hold up the sheet on the sideline.
Exactly.
Right? That's legal. If you're sitting at the game, the two teams are playing, and you're sitting in the box or on the side, standing on the sideline, whatever, and you can figure out what they're doing with their signals, that's legal. You can't send somebody with, you know, and let's face it, video is as easy as an iPhone. Right?
And that's what allegedly happened, too, with what before he got caught, I guess, this weekend, or he didn't decided not to show up, was there was somebody who reported, I don't know which game it was, that he was in the stands using his phone, doing videotaping the sideline the entire game. You're absolutely right.
Well, it may not be him.
Or somebody was in this operation.
Because remember, wouldn't he be on the sideline at the game they're at? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this where who did he send? I guess he put it on his own credit card. Like, he was able to get through SeatGeek and StubHub and so forth to get the tickets.
And then sometimes he used up to 30 family members' names sometimes.
Right. That tells you right away that he knows it's not right.
Exactly.
Right. So that tells you...
And that there are multiple people involved in this, going back to your naive point, to your point.
But again, my point is that within the building structure...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Schembechler Hall, there are other people that knew what was going on. Right? He's not just sitting there all by himself figuring this out. Right? He's got people... He's got to be able to get the video, and they got to go through the video. And you have to have people willing to say... Hey, what's his name? Morgan? What's his first name?
Connor Stallings is guy's name.
Hey, Connor. So what do you think here? You know, it's like, what do you think? They didn't pay attention to him, and you don't think over 2 years into a third year that there wasn't like some chit chat in the building? You know, a couple of people patting themselves on the back over doing this. I mean, come on. What do you think? He just sat there cloistered in his own little room, right? Came up with something, made a few suggestions. They go, hey, Connor, it's great. Great stuff. Appreciate that. Yeah, would you just pick it up by watching just now? I mean, you think that happened? No. Okay, it's exponentially more elaborate, involving more people than people realize. Now, is there plausible deniability at the top of the chain? Sure, there's plausible deniability. But see, what the NCAA has done with making suspensions for cause is they've taken away plausible deniability from head coaches. That's why you're seeing the head coach, like Bill Self, you know, he was self-imposed. But Jim Calhoun was suspended. Wasn't Jim Boeheim suspended?
That's correct, yeah.
Right, right. And they did this... Right, we're the head coach for cause. Okay. That's the problem. The problem is it's exponentially more elaborate than people realize. It's not that simple as, hey, I got tape. Hey, we matched it up. Hey, you guys should be changing your signals. Excuse me, if the possibility exists that you were actually in the process of allegedly getting a third Penn State game, and who knows how many Ohio State games they have. Okay? If you're in the process of this season of getting a third Penn State game, allegedly, right? Now you've got everybody's like, you should just change up every week. We're like, well, you can't change up a billion times. Can't keep doing it. You don't run 10 plays.
Point in all this is, to your point the other day about, or last week, I guess it was, when this first came out, that the NCAA is going to do nothing about this, which I sadly still agree with. I'll still agree with it until it's actually done. Let's put it that way. But I mean, at this point, the evidence is clear. And if they don't do something, this is going to be a new low and dangerous low for the NCAA.
Well, I don't think, you know what? I'm kind of changing my mind about that. I think that in combination with the fact they're already mad about the recruiting during COVID, Because they wanted to they said, this isn't over cheeseburger. They were mad about it to begin with. It may be, now he could pull a Pete Carroll and get out of town and go to the Seattle Seahawks.
And that's the kind of person he is, so I wouldn't surprise me either.
That nothing comes of it. But look, again, you can legally crack the other team's code. You could do it on the sideline. You can do it in the press box during the game. If you can somehow see something on a video, whether it's a TV tape or an all 22, that's legal. There's nothing wrong with all that stuff. Is all within the realm of fair play. Okay? All right? But to do this, where you're told you're not allowed to do it, you're not allowed to advance scout. I mean, there's a lot of things you can't do. I mean, they stopped this in 1994. This isn't some recent rule, Matt. This goes back to 1994.
Yep.
And in terms of the rule. And, you know, it's... I mean, I remember way back in the 80s, you'd send your graduates... let's take a basketball example, right? And they'd go and they'd scout games in the 80s. Basketball, the grad assistant basketball coach, just then they'd scout a game. Duquesne would be playing Temple. Right? And they would tell me, they'd write down what they see and so forth. If you're in a tournament, you can scout. You know that? I mean, the coaches will sit there and they'll scout a game when you're in a tournament. I'm talking, when I go down to Orlando, Penn State will play and the assistant coaches for the next game are going to be sitting there taking a look at it. You're allowed to do that when you're on site. You're not allowed to send somebody. And they used to go down and listen to calls on the sideline and then match it up with what they were doing. Okay. Right? Well, that's been outlawed. Can't do that. You can't do that. And there's a reason why it's in. And there's all sorts of legal ways to attempt to do it. And then there are ways you can't do it. This is the way you can't do it. And the fact, I still think that something else that really kind of takes you aback a bit, what would be the two games where you'd be scrambling a bit in the last 2 years for Michigan?
Ohio State and Penn State.
No. It would be Georgia and TCU. Because of the playoff.
Right.
You don't know who you're going to play. Right?
I see what you're saying now. Yep.
And how many points did TCU and Georgia both score?
They both put up a lot, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, they both broke 40. Really? That to me is one of the you sit back and go, okay. I mean, why do you need the signals of UNLV? Supposedly there's 11 different, according to Pete's report. Okay. And supposedly there's 11 different locations, whatever. I mean, the whole thing is, and to sit there and say, gee, none of us knew about it. This is alleged to have gone on. This is the third season it's gone on. And all of you are in the building are shocked. I can't believe Connor did this. Okay. Interesting.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door,
and some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Well, that's one rant out of the way.
But basically, to finish that up, especially now that you said that the NCAA may do something, if they really want to actually do something, they would put a postseason ban this year on Michigan.
Yeah.
This year. Not next year, not down the road, none of this self-imposed BS. Now. Self-imposed, an actual postseason ban this year.
I'm trying to think what they can and can't do about that, because if the college football playoff runs, who goes to the playoff? I think you'd be right. I'm just saying, I'm not sure where it starts and where it ends with that right now. I mean, they're really good at telling James Madison they can't go.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're good at that.
Maybe the CFP will have some integrity. We'll have to see if that is the case. But that was one thing. You're right. The second thing is another note from college football from over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, two things with Caleb Williams. The first thing is all this hoopla about how he was acting on the sideline after he lost, like he was so upset and this and that. Looking at the photos, he's just sitting there just disappointed, and guys are holding his, are like patting him on the shoulder. It's not like he's like bawling on the sideline.
No.
So I just don't get it. I get he's going to be the first round pick, assuming that he's does do that. But like, enough with this. Oh, he's so upset about the loss, this and that. Of course he's upset, but he's not like he's bawling on the sideline or throwing stuff or anything like that. So please spare me.
Right.
Second part of this is him and Lincoln Riley, or Lincoln Riley is apparently protecting him from the media, and he's not letting him talk to the media, and he's been himself.
He didn't let anybody talk to the media after the game. He was the only one that spoke.
Exactly.
None of the players were available.
Exactly. And that's something that cannot and should not happen, especially when you're in the L.A. market. I'm sorry. You're USC football. You're in a game like that, you're supposed to win. You lose, you got to face the music. And guess what? Caleb Williams is going to have to learn that regardless of wherever he goes next year, because he's going to be the number one overall pick.
Right.
So don't coddle him now. Let him face the music with the media, who's trying to do their job.
Yeah, I mean, that's Lincoln Riley's call on that one. That's not Caleb Williams. What I find interesting is that one of the guys from Fox Sports, Acho, A-C-H-O.
Oh, Emmanuel Acho. Yeah, he stinks. Yeah. He's annoying. So annoying on Fox Sports. He was a former Eagle, and he stunk as a player, too.
Okay. evidently has been saying that maybe Caleb Williams should sit out the rest of the season and just get ready for the draft now that USC's out of the race.
Right, another idiotic statement from him.
And over the years, I've talked about this. When it started with the bowl games with Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey and so forth, that really started the trend of players sitting out bowl games. And the excuse always had been, it's a meaningless exhibition. They could get hurt. Look what happened to Smith of Notre Dame, the linebacker. Look what happened to Jake Butt, who's now with BTM, the tight end from Michigan. How they got hurt in bowl games. And, you know, those happened after McCaffrey and Fournette didn't play in bowl games. When I talked about it, on the show, I said there's going to come a point where a team is sitting there after game 8 and they're 5-3. And they're going to have people telling the star that they shouldn't be playing. I'm talking about outside influences. I don't mean coaches or anything like that or other players, right? That they should sit out. I said, it's going to come to the point where that's going to happen, where somebody's going to be barking at somebody to not play. Remember all the hoopla over Jadeveon Clowney and whether he should play his senior year or not? And with COVID, let's give credit where credit's due, because I said one of the keys with COVID would be with Micah Parsons not playing in 20 and Jamar Chase at LSU not playing in 20, that they would be the standard bearers about sitting out, and could you still perform at a high level in the NFL after not playing for 17 months? And, geez, they're both really good. So that theory went by the boards. But now you've got people saying this to him. Now, we're in an NIL era. Caleb Williams is making a fair amount of coin on NIL at USC, to the point where I think he's got options as to whether, depending on who's drafting first, he can look at me and go, you know what? I don't know. Because, I mean, by the time he has to declare, which is 1 week after, so it's January 15th. I think it's January 15th is the day players have to declare whether they're staying or going. Well, at that point, you'll know the draft order, because the last regular season game is Sunday, January 7th. So you'll know the draft order. And if he looks at the draft order and says, poof, I mean, so, I don't know, pick somebody, Arizona, and he does want to go there, he could go back to USC if he wanted to. He does have NIL options, right? So he actually has more, in this area, he has more power financially because of it. I just don't like the idea of people like, you know, team sports are team sports. That's everybody. And maybe I'm too old-fashioned, idealistic, whatever it may be. To me, you don't leave and walk out on your team. That's me. You have games to play, you play.
100%.
You're available to play, you play. And especially with NIL, you do have financial options these days, which makes it worth your while to play in college football. Okay. It makes it worth your while. Just a thought. But yeah, I see where you're coming from. I see where you're coming from. So do you want to tell everybody about your future plans?
Yeah, we can do that. I think now's a good time to do that.
Yeah.
So this is my last week with the Steve Jones Show and with Sunbury Broadcasting.
I drove another one out.
Oh, my almighty!
That's right. There was just some circumstances that I'm not going to get into that led to this for me. So I am not going anywhere. I'm going to be staying in the area. I'm going to be the new communications coordinator for CEDACOG. For those of you that don't know, it is our community and economic development organization here in the area. They do a lot of great work. I've gotten to know a lot of people over there from my news duties. So I'm really excited for it. But I am going to miss everybody here on the Steve Jones Show. I enjoy doing my news. That was another fun part of my job when I did do that. But this was the best part of my day each and every day for the last 4 years, ever since that I wanted to be in sports and be a sportscaster since eighth grade. Doing a show like this was one of my dreams, and I was able to fulfill that dream for the last 4 years, and especially working with a guy like Steve that has so much knowledge about this industry and has obviously been a big part of the industry for a long time, and getting to know him and other behind-the-scenes aspects of the stuff that I thought was just magical growing up. It was really fun to be a part of. I experienced my first whiteout last year, which was amazing. Got to a couple blue-white games, which was amazing. Got numerous other fun opportunities for doing the show here. So this is something that I'm really, really going to miss. This is really hard for me to walk away from, but it's a decision that I had to make for my family and for me. So this is my last week on the show. Friday will be my last show because I start my new job next Tuesday on Halloween. So, ironically enough, the only thing I know is Caleb will be in this chair for now, but I'm not sure what the future will hold after that as far as who's going to be my actual full-time replacement. So I guess stay tuned for that. But I really appreciate everybody's support for the last almost 4 years. I took over for Sean Carey in December 2019, so I'm coming up on 4 years doing the show. And it's been a lot of fun for me. Each and every day will be 4 years I definitely will never forget. Hate to be going out with the loss to Ohio State, but, you know, that's how things go sometimes. And I just really enjoyed doing the show tremendously. It was a really, really fun part of the day. I loved talking to all of our listeners and getting to know all of our callers and things like that, most of them that called yesterday. So I enjoyed that very, very much, and I appreciate everybody's support and put up with me and my rants for the last couple of years, especially you, Steve. And it's been a lot of fun working with you. I have learned so much from you. I consider you more of a mentor now as well and a good friend. And I'm definitely going to miss working with you each and every day. But like I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'll still be here. If you want to commit me up if you need to hear a rant from me or whatever. But this is it for me after this week. So,
well, everybody, Matt did a phenomenal job. He did a phenomenal job on the air. He's a pro's pro. He's great off the air. He works so hard lining up guests and being the ultimate producer. It was always fun for me. Now, let me ask you something. Why do you think I let you do the rants of the day?
I think it's because it gave a lot of flavor to the show, I thought.
Exactly. I've always tried in the show, like it has my name on it, but I always want the people I'm working with to shine. I mean, I've done a lot in my career, so I don't need to go out there and shine, especially with younger people. You know, that's why when I worked with Thomas Frank Carr for a period of time, I used to do a lot of stuff with him on video breakdown and so forth because he's so good at it. Well, I wanted him to shine. Right? Well, it's the same thing with you. That's why, like, the rants were fun, but at the same time, it was your chance to, like, I don't have to do all the talking. You know, and every once in a while, just for fun, you'd have, we do the old contrarian point of view, just like, gee, Matt, you know, I may have agreed with you. But just for the sake of the, like, it's a show. Just to be a little contrarian, but it gave you an opportunity to break out and show your own personality. So that's why I thought it was fun. That's why we did it.
And I always appreciated the platform too.
No, that's why. It's really important along the way to when the people you're working with to open up the door and let them do some stuff. You know? That's... And you were great. Did a great job at it, at everything. Great producer, great on the air, fun to be with, easy to talk to, easy to work with, pros pro, great family guy. By the way, I saw the picture of your little guy. Okay. I mean, what did you guys do, like three duplicates?
I know, it is pretty crazy, isn't it?
I mean, you want to talk about, like, there is no doubt who the brothers are. I mean, my goodness, they all, and, you know, they may have little things here and there that are different, but they all look pretty much the same.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
It's amazing. They're all adorable. Right? And everybody got a chance to hear them learn how to spell in the air. All right, so it's like, it was really great. Really enjoyed that part.
Yeah.
Fabulous. But you'll be great for them. They're very fortunate to have you, just like we were extremely fortunate to have you, and the audience was extremely fortunate to hear you.
And it still works out that I will be able to continue to do my stuff with SECVA, calling games, hosting the sports beat, and you'll still be hearing me announcing all the games at Soika and Christy. So that's
great.
That's one of the better parts about this, too.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's great. Great to hear. All right. Scott Fransky coming up in the next half hour. Neil Coulong, final half hour. The Phillies will play tonight. They'll play, and this could be... Was it Ranger Suarez tonight?
It is.
I would guess, and this will be one of the questions I'll ask Scott, and that will be whether they can squeeze an inning or two out of Zach Wheeler if they needed. So Wheeler pitched, what, on Saturday night or Sunday night? It's Saturday night, right?
Yeah, it was Saturday.
Saturday night. If you notice in last night's game, Bruce Bochy was able to squeeze a couple of innings out of Jordan Montgomery. That's why I'm going to ask him that question, whether Wheeler can do that. I mean, Nola's out. I mean, you can't bring Nola back tonight. I have no idea how many pitches Nola threw last night, but, I mean, you really realistically can't bring him back. Wheeler, I think you could for an inning or a couple of batters or whatever. That's, you know, I'll ask him about that because who's going for Arizona tonight?
It's Brandon Font tonight, the rookie who pitched his heart out in game three.
Yeah. Yeah. He pitched well. They won the game. So he'll get it tonight, but you would think that both teams, like, you know, that would be the same question I would ask the Arizona people. Could Zach Gallen give you an inning? And some guys are not conducive to relief work because, you know, it's a lot of starting pitchers go through a regimen to get themselves ready, and some are quicker than others. The regiment is bum, 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 we're all set, I'm all set, let's go pitch. Others kind of take a while, stretch, do the deal, yeah. You know, and so sometimes it's not always as easy as, hey, I'm putting a starting pitcher in now in relief. And sometimes it takes a little bit based on what their run-up is to do that. That's why I'll ask Scott about that. Because it's, except for the two starting pitchers last night, you know, it's all hands on deck tonight. Boy, if the Phillies could get the lead and that place is going crazy, that would be big. Arizona, to be honest with you, Arizona last night went out, got the lead, kind of like to rip the heart out of the building, and in the eighth inning, they all left. I mean, Arizona's just, it was their night. They got it done. It was their night. Okay, so five Penn State men's basketball alumni in the NBA. Okay, so Calvin Booth's the GM. That's one. Seth Lundy, Jalen Pickett, Lamar Stevens. And Andrew Jones is an assistant coach with the Toronto Raptors. One thing I want to know where Andrew Funk is. I wonder if he ended up in the G League. That one I'm going to have to... That one I'm going to have to take a long look at, see if Andrew ended up with Denver's G League team. I hope he did. He's a great guy. You know Andrew really well.
I'm rooting for him every step of the way.
Yeah.
Always will.
These guys crack me up. What's my availability tomorrow and Thursday? How about, like, not? It's like you pick two of the worst days of the week. Somebody wanted to do something. Like, the team would like to. Like, hey, guys.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I have quarterback club tomorrow. Then I got the show. And then Thursday, I got. Jeez. And then I have to put in my reservation for the Gaylord Palms in Orlando.
Ooh.
I looked it up online. Ooh. Wow. Pretty good. Not bad. Not going to be staying there that often, but yeah. How about that? Yeah. Yeah, could you do this tomorrow or Thursday? Like, excuse me, like, could you pick two of the worst days to do it? Okay. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back. More in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.